Don Biderman came around the corner ahead of her. He had found a shortcut and cut her off. The others were right behind him. Now Mr. Biderman's prick was standing straight up the way Bobby sometimes did in the morning before he got out of bed and went to the bathroom. Only Mr. Biderman's prick was huge. It looked like a kraken, a triffid, a monster. And Bobby thought he understood the blood on his mother's legs. He didn't want to, but he thought he did. "Leave her alone!" he tried to scream at Mr. Biderman. "Leave her alone! Haven't you done enough?" The scarlet eye on Mr. Biderman's yellow doublet suddenly opened wider and slithered to one side. Bobby was invisible, his body one world farther down the spinning top from this one. But the red eye saw him. The red eye saw everything. "Kill the pig! Drink her blood!" Mr. Biderman said in a thick, almost unrecognizable voice, and started forward. "Kill the pig! Drink her blood!" Bill Cushman and Curtis Dean chimed in. "Kill the pig! Strew her guts! Eat her flesh!" chanted Willie and Richie, falling in behind the Nimrods. Like those of the men, their pricks had turned into spears. "Eat her! Drink her! Strew her! Screw her!" Harry chimed in. "Get up, Mom! Run! Don't let them!" She tried. But even as she struggled from her knees to her feet, Biderman leaped at her. The others followed, closing in, and as their hands began to tear the tatters of her clothes from her body, Bobby thought, "I want to get out of here. I want to go back down the top to my own world. Make it stop and spin it the other way so I can go back down to my own room in my own world." Except it wasn't a top. And even as the images of the dream began to break up and go dark, Bobby knew it. It wasn't a top, but a tower, a still spindle upon which all of existence moved and spun. Then it was gone, and for a little while there was a merciful nothingness. When he opened his eyes, his bedroom was full of sunshine. Summer sunshine on a Thursday morning in the last June of the Eisenhower presidency.